Whenever someone uses the full word goodbye,
goodbye,
it's over.
You'll never see them again.
You'll never see them again. that's the facts.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom. Back to you, Bob. Accept your perfect life, Dawson.
Continues to
982. Back to you, Bob.
Hello, and welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 421, Separation Anxiety, which originally aired on May 9th, 2001.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I was getting ready to graduate high school, like the Cape Citians.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Like the anticipation, the terror. Did you have terror about going to college?
Well, yeah, but not until like a week before
Much
or whatever.
Much closer.
Here, yeah. I was like, I want to be free. Oh my God, I felt alive. I felt like I could do anything. Just like, you know, that liberation feeling. But yeah, I was getting ready to graduate.
Nuts.
You were getting ready for...
I was getting ready to finish 10th grade. A really big year. I can tell you the first time I ever threw up from drinking was on graduation night of this year because we went to a party that the grade above us threw. Like it was tradition for the juniors to throw a big party the night of graduation because it's like, we're seniors now. So every year that happened.
I don't know what your life was. What is this life? What is this life? Like, I couldn't imagine having that many friends or knowing about traditions or my school having traditions or that's crazy.
It's because I grew up in a very small town. Tradition is a big thing.
So did I.
Never mind.
Anyway, so I'm exhausted today because I was up very late and then also very early this morning looking for Dawson's Creek Life of a Showgirl TikTok edits. I didn't find any.
I was going to say you didn't. I was going to say that I'm sure they're out there.
Not yet. I found some good ones. I posted them to our stories, but no Taylor ones yet.
This might be our window. This might be our opportunity.
Well, I'm obsessed with Life of a Showgirl. It's like all I could think about.
So you're on the West Coast. So it came out at 9 o'clock. I'm on the East Coast. So it came out at midnight. And at midnight, we were laying in bed. And I turned to my partner and I was like, okay, you pick a song based on the name alone. And I'll pick a song based on the name alone. And we'll listen to him and then we'll go to bed. And he picked Wood. So the first song we listened to was Wood.
Naturally.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay.
Wood had to grow on me.
I liked it.
But I like it. What did you pick?
I picked Eldest Daughter. Very different vibes. Wood and Eldest Daughter.
Eldest Daughter just had different vibes than what I thought it would be. I thought it would be like a sad family song. It's more about online trolling and the haters. And so that was interesting. I went to see that Leo Paul Thomas Anderson movie on Thursday night. And it was good. It was really long. By the time we got out, I was tired. So I listened to, I think, one song. I listened to a few songs, I think, but the one song that stood out was Fate of Ophelia, which is my favorite.
Mm.
I did tell my partner leaving today that he needed to listen to the whole album today, and I needed like a full analysis. Not a full analysis, but I needed
a book report.
And then he said, how?
What
I was
do you
like,
mean?
How what? And he's like, how do I listen to the album? And I was like, what?
Sir, are you 90 years old?
I said, it's 2025 and you're not a grandpa. Figure it out. Spotify? Apple?
Figure it out. Google it.
Figure it out. No, please don't. Please don't tell me you have to Google how to listen to an album. But I love it. And I don't care about the haters.
Oh, who cares? There's haters for everything all the time.
I'm ready to go to war. I muted a cousin. Like, she's dead to me. We're not family. We're not family.
No more Christmas, no more Easter.
Well, they're Jews, so no more Hanukkah. But look, I'm not doing this with you. You know that I like Taylor. Don't message me telling me how much you hate Taylor and hate her new album. Don't come for my joy. I don't get joy out of a lot of things.
That's what I don't understand. It's like, I understand having your own opinions, but cutting down other people's opinions is the dumbest thing to me.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say that I haven't done it. Of course I have. I've been depressed for like 2 years, so I like to steal joy sometimes. What I don't understand is I don't understand posting about how much you hate something. And in general, I think social media has done a lot of negative things in the world. One of the worst things it's done is give people the impression that their opinion matters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't need to hear your opinion on everything.
Yeah.
or at all on anything.
And hearing your opinion about everything makes me like you less.
Yeah, I don't need to know your opinion unless it's the same one as mine, then I do.
Well, if I ask you for your opinion or if we're having a dialogue, but when you're just like putting it into the void, it gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
Speaking of anxiety, separation anxiety.
What's the Dawson's drink?
The Dawson's drink is separation anxiety. It is creme de cassis, pimento dram, Peychaud's bitters, Guinness.
I don't know. I don't know what you just said.
No, but you know, it's for someone and that's why we're doing it. Someone will love it.
Creme de cassis? Yeah. I don't know her.
Never met her. Why don't you tell us what the episode's about?
Episode 421, Separation Anxiety, opens with Jack and Jen. Jack is filling her in on what's happening with him and Toby. Actually, Jen is the one pressing to get it out of him. Jack admits that they're going out again and things are going well. Drew shows up and hands them their yearbooks. And it feels like things have really turned a corner for Drew and Jen since prom, and they're really getting along. They all flip open the yearbooks to the class superlatives and spot Pacey and Joey. They mention how Joey and Pacey haven't spoken since prom and talk about how they won class couple. Gretchen and Dawson haven't spoken since prom either. So Drew, Jack, and Jen place bets on who will lock lips first between the two couples. And that's when Dawson and Joey arrive and shut it down. So Dawson is working on his application to the USC summer program, submitting his documentary on Mr. Brooks. Gail enters and pokes around, asking if he's heard from Gretchen. He says no, and she pushes Dawson very gently to reach out to her, and Dawson's unsure, so then she reveals that Gretchen is actually leaving town. She gave her notice at the restaurant. Dawson insists that Gretchen must not want him to know since she didn't tell him herself. Gail reminds Dawson that he has no idea of knowing what Gretchen really wants and urges him to speak with her. Meanwhile, Pacey and Gretchen talk about Dawson and Joey, and they note how neither of them has spoken to Dawson or Joey. They wonder if maybe they would feel better if they did, and they half joke that avoidance might be genetic and in their DNA. So Jen, meanwhile, is stunned when a realtor walks into the house and starts showing Graham's house off to prospective buyers. She had no idea that Graham's had put it on the market. So Jen confronts her, and Graham's explains that the sale will help pay for Jen's college in Boston. And Graham's also wants to start a new chapter, just like Jen and her friends. She's planning on joining a retirement community. So Mr. Kublik from Worthington tracks Joey down at the yacht club. He asks if she's coming to the party. She says yes. And then he mentions that he wants to speak to Pacey. Joey claims that they broke up but still talk, which we know is untrue. So Mr. Kublik insists that it's urgent. Pacey must attend because the dean of admissions needs to speak with him. Curious, Joey agrees, and then she finally seeks Pacey out. She tells him the news, and he cuts her off by saying he misses her. Joey says that she misses him too, and he confesses that he's been replaying the prom in his head over and over, and it just wasn't supposed to come out like that. It wasn't supposed to end like that. They decide to go to the party together. So Dawson drops by Leary's Fresh Fish and asks Gretchen to sign his yearbook. She admits that she was considering leaving town without saying goodbye, and this upsets and hurts him. She says that she was also wondering how she could possibly ever say goodbye to him. She explains that she's going to go back to school and take summer classes, and she leaves the day after tomorrow. She asks if she can take Dawson's yearbook and think about what to write and hold on to it for now. Gretchen tells Pacey that she does not think he should go to this party with Joey because it's too soon. Pacey argues that much of their breakup revolved around college and his not going. So if this man from Worthington offers him admission, then maybe it's a sign that he belongs with Joey after all. Gretchen and Pacey share a final goodbye because she's leaving so early in the morning. Mitch and Dawson discuss his Mr. Brooks documentary, and Mitch reflects that Mr. Brooks reminds him a lot of Dawson, a risk taker who once asked a girl on a whim to come with him to California. Brooks was an inspiration, and this really inspires Dawson. Jen and Graham's visit the retirement community, and Jen insists that Graham's is not moving there. She says she won't allow it. Graham's answers that it's a gift, not a sacrifice. Jen admits that when Graham's offered to pay for college, she assumed that Graham's had the money. She never thought that Graham's would have to put herself out like this. So later, Jen tells Jack that she's planning to attend state college for a year or two to save money, and she'll meet him in Boston later. Jack thinks this is very convenient, and Jen almost feels relieved to have found a reason not to go. She doesn't want to leave Cape Side because it's the only place she's felt safe, and Graham's is the only person who's ever made her feel that way. Jen admits that it's true. And later, Jen asks Graham's to move to Boston with her. She wants Graham's with her at college, and Graham's agrees. So Pacey picks up Joey for the party. They almost kiss out of habit, but they stop themselves. At the party, Mr. Kublik and the Dean of Admissions offer Pacey a summer job on their yacht as a deckhand. because they were so impressed by his stories at the original party about his experience and the true love. Pacey is blindsided since he was expecting a college admissions offer instead. So very sad, he notices Joey in her element, surrounded by her peers, and she's fitting in very easily. She offers to leave, but he tells her to stay, insisting that she doesn't need him anymore. He points out that this party is different from the last time because she isn't a nervous wreck that he has to rescue. Joey answers that she can't enjoy the party without him, and they leave together. She asks if she can stay overnight at his place, and he says yes. So fresh off of his talk with Mitch about Mr. Brooks and taking risks, Dawson rushes to Gretchen and says that he wants to go with her. He wants to leave town with her. She says that she doesn't belong here, but Dawson does. Dawson suggests they run away and see what happens. Eventually, she agrees. Dawson should come with her and they'll escape together. Dawson feels guilty about what to write in a goodbye letter to his parents and babysitting Lily. He admits to feeling bad about not being honest with them. So Gretchen arrives and Dawson says something like, it'll be really strange not to be around to watch Lily grow up. And we see that something strikes Gretchen about this sentiment. And she kisses him and says goodbye. It feels final, but Dawson believes that he'll see her in the morning. Pacey apologizes to Joey for his behavior at prom. And he admits that tonight he was jealous of the kids at the party because they'll be with her next year and he won't. Joey had hoped that Mr. Kublik's offer would have been for admissions and it would have answered their prayers. They realize that they did get a sign, it just wasn't the one that they wanted. Pacey says that at least they have a better ending this time, and they're both grateful for that. So Dawson packs up and he goes to Gretchen's, and he finds his yearbook sitting there with a letter tucked inside. He knows instantly what it means, but he reads it anyway. Inside is a photo of the two of them and her goodbye note. In it, Gretchen tells Dawson that she needs to move on and he needs to stay. His life is about to change forever and he should embrace those moments. She assures him she loves him. She thanks him for opening her heart and wishes him a great summer. Dawson finds Joey at the end of the dock and they have a nice moment. She asks what he's doing this summer and he says this. And that's episode 421, Separation Anxiety.
Whoa.
I actually love this episode. Sorry.
Really good. These last few... Wow.
The feeling of graduation and all of that is just so palpable and it makes you really feel all those things again.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Agreed.
Who wrote episode 421?
This episode was written by Rena Mimoun. She was a co-producer this season, but this was her only script and her only script for all of the series.
I wonder why in a 23 episode season, a co-producer would only write one episode. That is wild.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Because I was a co-producer on Raven Simone's show and I wrote three. Sitcoms are different than dramas, but sometimes you can get worked into your deal how many episodes a season you get. And maybe she didn't and maybe everyone else had.
More.
Oh, I get three episodes. And then, yeah, maybe the math just didn't work out.
Could be. Well, she's done okay for herself. Her first episode of TV was an episode of The Closer, and then this was shortly thereafter. She's gone on to have episodes of Gilmore Girls, Pushing Daisies, Eastwick, Heart of Dixie, among other things. And then she worked her way up to EP level on Everwood, and she's had EP credits on a show called Privileged, which she created, Red Band Society, Mistresses, and The Girls on the Bus, which was an HBO show, and she was the showrunner. So she's got a great career.
Privilege was a great show. Yeah, it was really good.
That's
I want to say it was Joanna Garcia.
Yes, Swisher. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to say it was the girl from Pretty Little Liars who was sleeping with the teacher.
Lucy Hale.
Yeah, Lucy Hale. Privilege was a great show.
Nice. Awesome. I'll have to watch it. I'll put it on my list.
You know what's funny? You bring up Everwood. I saw a TikTok last night about like amazing shows you never heard of. And Everwood was on it. And I was like, who has never heard of Everwood?
It's insane. We're too old. We're too old now.
I don't like that.
Or they're too young. I don't know. But there are so many things recently where I've watched people talking to the current tweens. I don't know anything.
I know. Actually, I was looking at the lineup for Austin City Limits and I was like, who are these people? Hilary Duff came out with, I don't even know the guy's name. And I was like, who is he? Why did Hilary Duff come out with him? Anyway, we are old is what I'm trying to say.
That's like when people were like, oh, Tony Bennett's coming out. And we were like, oh, look at this old timer. No, that's Hilary Duff.
Oh my God. This episode. So I like this writing.
Yeah, she did a great job.
She did not have an easy task to recover from last week's.
Oh my gosh.
I do kind of want to reopen last week's and talk about it a little bit when we crack open.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point though, for this to be her only script and it's like coming in to take that on. It's nuts.
Not an easy task, Arena. Well, who directed?
This episode was directed by Krishna Rao. He was first with us on episode 413 Hopeless. So you can go back and listen to that episode if you want to hear more about him. And he will be with us for one more next season. So Hopeless was the episode where Mrs. Valentine forces Joey and Pacey to go on a double date with Drew and Anna Evans.
Oh, right.
You know, there's some tension around will they, won't they have sex?
I remember that. They were talking about it every episode. What about guest cast shout out?
I'm going to give guest cast shout out to Peter Jurasik. He plays Mr. Kublik. He has 84 acting credits from 1977 to the present. He is best known for playing the roles of Sid on Hill Street Blues and Londo Mollari on Babylon 5. But he was a prolific character actor. He has episodes of MASH, Taxi, Night Court, MacGyver, Growing Pains, Matlock, Third Rock from the Sun. And he was in features like Tron, Problem Child, Runaway Jury, and 42. But obviously he has like millions and millions of credits. So take a look.
I really like him. I really like him a lot. I think he's very Dawson's Creek. I think he's very Cape Side. I think he's very academic. I think he really is perfect for the role.
Fits right in. Music moment. You got anything?
What is your music moment?
I am choosing Windows by Amy Cook, which is like the Joey Pacey theme. And they play it again here when he comes to pick her up, and it's got this like completely different vibe, obviously, because they're not together. And it really, really hit me this time.
Yeah, that song really, it really brings me back. It really brings me back to this era, because that was one of the songs I really played extensively on my Winamp.
Sure.
But I will also say yes to that. Yes. And Waiting for My Real Life to Begin, Colin Hay.
So good.
On repeat. And you know, in this era, I was very, you know, Dawson Joey. So it was like a nice Dawson Joey moment. Oh my God, they're sitting at the dock. They're single.
For sure. And I can tell you when Windows came on, I thought of Dawson specifically. But when Waiting for My Real Life to Begin came on, I was like, oh my God, I love Colin Hay. It's more like about the era than the exactly the show.
Wait, do you know Colin Hay?
Yeah, I've listened to some of his stuff. Yeah, or I used to.
I only know this song, but I will say there's an Edwin McCain song and a Jessica Andrews song. So this is actually a pretty good music episode.
Pretty stacked. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty stacked. Pretty stacked.
What about past versus present? Do you have anything?
I would say my past versus present is, I think in my memory, I kind of skipped this episode because I always think of the breakup as the prom scene. And then I picture next episode, which I won't get into, the graduation episode. So I never really remember Pacey and Joey kind of getting this closure that they get in this episode. So I think that's it. I think that's my big takeaway is like, oh, Pacey and Joey did kind of get a moment of closure in this.
And it was really sweet. I enjoyed it. And I think too, like I think the first time around, I definitely had more hope that they would come back together. But I think this time now watching, I was like, it's very clear. And I didn't understand why Gretchen left, I guess. And now I kind of get it. I'm like, yeah, there was no good move there. You know, It would have been hard no matter what. She thought she was doing the right thing. And I don't really like think it's a bad move. I don't know if it's what I would have done, but I understood it more this time around.
Why Gretchen left Cape Side and went back to school or both? Or
Dawson was expecting to go with her and she just left.
Okay, I see.
Like, I thought it was like a weird bad. I was like, oh, Gretchen.
She didn't even say bye. But no.
Yeah.
It would have been too hard to say goodbye. Yeah. I mean, I love Gretchen. I really do.
She's gone.
She's gone. Goodbye. Okay. Since this is past versus present, can we talk about 420 a little bit?
Sure.
There's been a lot of chatter on the Instagram about Pacey being out of character in last week's. And I just wanted to revisit that because to me, I mean, we just talked about it. Everyone has an opinion. Who cares? But to me, it was laid in so brilliantly throughout season four, just his lack of self-esteem, her successes, her highs, his lows, him kind of being his own worst enemy, him getting drunk. And I feel like they really breadcrumbed us to the prom fight. But I don't know if I'm in the minority there. Now, I do think it's like super heartbreaking. And I think it's probably, I honestly think it's some of the best acting of the show.
It's really good.
But I just thought that was interesting, you know, how like it can be interpreted so differently. A lot of people think Pacey was acting out of character and that it's like not canon. I do think it's a little, he's obviously treating her in a way that he never had or will again. But I think it felt earned. Like, I feel like it felt written to.
I agree with you. I think maybe what people are responding to is how public the like outburst was. And that feels maybe a little not Pacey. But exactly what you're saying, the getting drunk, this episode, next episode, like you can see the pieces of him really falling apart and like just doing things that are out of character, which I think everybody does stuff that's out of character when they're in a hard, you know what I mean? Like that's life.
Yeah. And I don't think it has anything to do with Joey. I think it has to do with him.
100%. He says that in this episode.
That's it. I just wanted to kind of revisit because I don't know if we did it full justice last week. We might have.
Interesting. Yeah, I haven't read the comments, but I agree with you. I think rewatching it this season, we've talked about it so many times about how their relationship was never really on firm ground once they returned from sea. And his insecurities are just so apparent the whole season.
Yeah, I think what's really brilliant about this season is the vision is there. The vision that wasn't there season three is really, because they have that talk in the boat where they're like, once we get off this boat, we're back to all the drama, the problems, you know, we survived sea, but where you haven't even come close to weathering the storm, that line, you know, like it really feels like it was laid in. And the second he gets off the boat in the premiere, they had talked to him about his school, how he, you know, so might not graduate and all the stuff. So it really felt like this season had a clear arc vision, very arced out. And I think that's really refreshing coming off season three. I think they kind of got a little lucky season three because there was the season three premiere scene where Pacey tells Dawson he's going to look after Joey and he hugs Joey and it kind of turned romantic. But I don't know if that was the plan the whole time.
No, they were definitely scrambling season three. This feels is refreshing.
The breakup feels very written too for me and very earned. It's sad, but I mean.
Yeah, no, it's good. I agree with you.
We need some drums. All right, let's dive in.
Jack's drinking canned Dasani in the cafeteria. How novel. Ahead of its time.
I miss the old Doritos logo layout.
Very artwork. Nostalgic.
I love that Drew is like, I like that they turned a corner. I like that Drew is in the mix.
He is totally in the mix. He comes up to Jen and Jack in the cafeteria where Jen is trying to get Jack to spill the beans about what's going on with Toby. And Drew comes up with the yearbooks and hands out their yearbooks. I loved getting the yearbooks. It was like my favorite thing.
It made me feel alive, to quote Joey, in Stolen Kisses.
The best.
The smell.
I was just going to say that.
The smell of a fresh yearbook.
They smell so good.
If this was written now, or my secret wish for this, that Drew comes into the fold sooner, like 3 or 4 episodes ago. More time with Drew. More time with Drew being nice. Not nice, but being welcomed. Also, what if Drew was like, since he's from New York, and you know, New York City people are painted on this show, advanced.
Sure.
What if he was bi, and then what if him and Jack had like a...
Oh my gosh.
It's like, I think they're hot together.
That's actually a kind of a great idea.
Drew and Jack in this scene, look, I'm seeing it.
And Drew's villainy, so he could be like...
Using for attention or something. Yeah.
Or like, just to stir the pot. He just loves to stir the pot.
That's what I wanted for this. Sorry, Toby, you're out.
Sorry, Toby, go put your glasses back on. Get out of here.
I think Drew's so cute.
He is cute. I agree. Know.
We've talked about it. Anyway.
And they're starting to make a bet about, will Pacey and Joey get back together? Will Gretchen and Dawson get back together? Will both of them get back together? Or will neither of them get back together? And Dawson and Joey walk up and they're like, nothing. Never mind.
Yeah. And Dawson and Joey are like fully hanging again. They walk up together.
Fully hanging.
They have not talked to Gretchen or Pacey, neither of them, since prom.
Wild. Dawson's trying to get into the USC summer program with his Mr. Brooks film. So he's feverishly putting the finishing touches on that. And Gail comes in. She's such a meddler. Gail cannot help herself. I mean, I know she's trying to do what's best for her son, but she's like, hey, have you talked to Gretchen? You should.
You really, really should. She gave her notice. I mean, I love that for Gail.
She's like, tell her to sign your yearbook, dear.
He says, well, if she didn't tell me that she's leaving town, then she probably doesn't want me to know. And she's like, stop. Enough. Shh. You don't know what she wants.
Oh, Gail, you're so wise.
Goals.
Pacey's fixing up Gretchen's car so she can go on a road trip, which we don't know quite yet. And we learn that Gretchen has paid 1 extra month of rent at the beach house so that Pacey can stay and get his affairs in order before he has to move out, which I thought was really sweet.
Yeah.
They have a really nice moment commiserating with each other about Joey and Dawson.
Yeah, this is a nice little winter bonding scene where they're kind of just re-upping that they haven't talked to Dawson and Joey and they're avoiding them and maybe runs in the family. Gretchen's leaving town. She's taking the car.
She's got to get out.
Well, Jen is just chilling in her house and this like realtor walks in with these buyers. And this lady's hair is wild.
I think it's a wig. It I think it's be. A wig. It's really distracting.
Really distracting.
But yeah, the couple is like, we could turn that room upstairs into a gym. Jen's like, that's my room. And the real estate agent says, congrats on getting into college. I've heard so much about you. And Jen is putting together the pieces.
Grams is selling the house.
Wild.
It's true. I don't want Grams to sell the house.
Me neither. What will she do with all of her rolling pins?
It's sad. It's really sad. We go to the yacht club. Joey's working. Mr. Kubla comes up and is like, hey, you coming to the party? She says yes. And he's like, how's that Pacey fella? Bring him. We have an offer from me and the dean of admissions. She's like, actually, we broke up. Girl, you don't have to like tell the details.
He's like, oh, but you still talk, right?
All the time.
Mr. Kublik wants the details.
Mr. Kublik is messy. Pacey's got to come to the party. They have an offer.
And Joey is, her wheels are turning. She's putting together pieces that might not be there.
Why would the dean of admissions want to talk to Pacey? What if they make him an offer at a party to come to college?
That's probably how it works.
Oh my God, I think that's it.
Grams tells Jen she doesn't get to have a say if she's going to sell the house. And Jen is like, you cannot do this for me. I know it's for my tuition. Grams is like, look, most of the money will go to your tuition, but that's not the only reason. You're moving on to the next phase of your life, and I need to move on to the next phase of my life.
I'm moving into a retirement community.
La Brea Park.
I just think of Sopranos. I'm sure everybody does. Retirement community.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of Park La Brea, which is an apartment complex in Los Angeles. Do you think that they just were like, La Brea Park, fine.
For sure. One of the writers must have lived there, something. Yeah.
I liked that Jen said, besides your knitting and Metamucil, you're too young for a retirement home.
So funny. Jen is just...
The two of them.
Full of witty banter. I just love these two.
The best. Dawson goes to Leary's Fresh Fish to see Gretchen and asks her to sign his yearbook, which he thought was really lame when Gail said it, but he didn't have something better. So he went and asked, and she tells him, well, he says, before you leave, were you going to leave without telling me? And she was like, yeah, maybe. And he's like, well, then I'm just going to go. And she's like, no, I didn't know what to say to you. And she's going back to school. She's going to take some summer courses. And before she goes, she's going to take a little road trip. So she's leaving day after tomorrow. And then she says, can I take some time with your yearbook? And he says, yeah, but the longer you have it, the less acceptable it will be if you just write have a bitch in summer.
This is so sad. I really like these two.
But that's life, you know? People go to college. This is like the end of an era. This is the beginning of your adulthood.
I know.
Most people don't last. It's a sad reality.
Oh my God. Good morning. What are you going to do? Tell me Taylor Swift sucks too?
Oh gosh.
Here's the thing. Did people write in your yearbook or did they do the thing where you gave them a picture of yourself, the message on the back? Did you guys do that?
Both.
You did both. Wow. Mm-hmm. You guys had a lot of feelings.
Oh God. Yes. Doesn't every high school student?
It's so funny to think about. I gave people pictures of me. Like, who wants that?
Like trading cards. Put it in your wallet.
They probably went straight in the trash.
I bet somewhere I have a shoebox full of old notes and people's graduation photos. Did you guys pass notes? Write each other notes in class and then fold them up and pass them between classes. And then you would read the notes and then you would write a response note.
I got caught passing a note once in sophomore year biology and I never did it again.
Wow. When I tell you, before I moved to California, I had like 4 boxes full of notes and they were the notes that I wanted to save. They weren't even just like, we were nonstop writing notes.
That's crazy. We had such different lives.
It's becoming more and more apparent.
No, Sister Mary Turpak was her name. She caught me.
I forgot you were dealing with the Catholics.
Yeah, you don't mess with the nuns. I think they made me read it out loud. It wasn't anything bad, but it was just like mortifying to read a note out loud.
That's awful. That would be my nightmare.
My school did not mess around. But so we have a junior or senior year. If you're lucky, quote unquote, you go in the junior year one. But there was a senior year retreat and they split you up like once a semester or a group goes. And it's like a secret retreat. You're not supposed to talk about what happens on the retreat. But when you get back, there's a reception.
Like grooming. It's a secret. Don't tell anyone.
You're not supposed to talk about what goes on there. And it's just a lot of reflecting and sharing, basically. But when you get back, the secret is like everyone who's gone on it previously is at the reception and welcomes you in and claps and hugs. And the people who've gone on it before you can write you letters while you're there. And then you could write letters to everyone that goes after you. Are you following? Like if you go in the fall, the people who went in the spring of last year.
Got it. So it's only the directly previous.
If you're like an alumni. No, if you're like an alumni at all of like the. They call it Kairos.
Could you go now?
As you're an adult?
Alumni. Yeah.
No. Oh, to the reception? I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's just like for the students. But the point of this was when we were on the retreat, we had notebooks that we could like, you could do the yearbook thing. Hey, oh my God, I had so much. Because you got to hang out with people. They randomly assigned you in different groups and you got paired with people who weren't your friends with in your room to like sleep over and in your share group. Mm-hmm. So we kind of did like a yearbook exchange. This has a point. The point was that I kind of poured my heart out on the retreat tablet yearbook kind of a thing with my group. And I felt embarrassed by it because once we got back to school, like everything went back to normal. No one talked. Like if you didn't talk before you.
Sure.
So I didn't really feel like spilling my guts in like the yearbook because I had kind of.
You'd already done that and it didn't feel good.
It just felt like embarrassing kind of a thing. So I kept my yearbook messages, I think, pretty generic. Like
have a bitch in summer. Thanks for being my friend. Good luck at college.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. Your vulnerability. Yeah.
Ripped out at an early age. So funny. I haven't thought about these things in a long time. Wow.
It's kind of like therapy.
It is like therapy.
Back to you, Bob.
Back to you, Bob. Okay, so Joey goes to Pacey's and she's like, we have to go to this party together. And he's like, I miss you. And she's like, I miss you too. And he's like, it wasn't supposed to end that way.
It's really sad.
The vibe I got from this scene was like Pacey was trying to tell her for so long how he felt and he just couldn't. And so it just came out at the wrong time, at the wrong place, in the wrong way.
But he doesn't say he's sorry. He just says it wasn't supposed to yet. He says it wasn't supposed to end that way. And she says, well, you should come to the party.
And he's going to go. And he's going to get that offer.
He's going to be there to accept the offer. This is what I don't understand. So in the next scene, Pacey and Gretchen are going to the store, loading her up with road trip snacks.
Funyuns.
Bags and bags of Funyuns.
I don't think I've ever had a Funyun.
I have. They're not anyone's favorite, I don't think.
They're Gretchen's favorite. What are you talking about?
I know. But then he says, if it's okay with you, I'm going to walk home. And she says, okay. And then they say like a very final heartfelt goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both going to the house. She's not leaving until tomorrow.
They're not
going to
see each other.
Why?
Because she's leaving early and he's going to the party.
But he's not dressed for the party. He has to go home and change.
She's not going home. She's going somewhere else.
Oh, thank you. No holes.
She's going to AAA to get maps. Do you remember when you had to do that?
Oh my gosh. What a different time to take a road trip.
She has to get the maps and then go to the library and then use a highlighter to highlight her route.
My dad and I drove cross country with no GPS. How did we do that?
Yeah, I did too. My dad just knew. Like, I think you just know.
Highways.
We actually got a GPS when we got to LA, which looking back and it was so backwards, but we didn't know how to get around LA and I needed one. We went to a Circuit City, I remember specifically. But my dad just knew, like yours, like they just knew.
My dad went out. I woke up the morning one morning we slept in a hotel in Oklahoma. My dad walked into the thing. He had been out getting breakfast or something and he bought a Tom Tom at some store and he handed it to me. And I was like, wow, thanks.
That's so funny. I was trying to think of the brand that mine was, and I can't remember, like Belkin or something. Was that a brand? But it got stolen my first year. Someone broke into my car, and then I never got another one because by that time, like the phone GPS was a thing.
One of my last years in LA, my car got broken into, window smashed. They took my backpack, which had like nothing in it but gym clothes, and they pulled out my Tom Tom out of my glove compartment and left it. I didn't even want it.
That same thing happened to me. They stole my gym bag, basically, which had like dirty clothes in it. Anyway, we're so similar. We have so much in common. Well, listen, Pacey, Gretchen has things to do. She's not going to see Pacey. This goodbye was really sad. I'm really sad about it.
And she urges him to not go to the party.
She doesn't think it's a good idea. She thinks it's too soon. She thinks there's going to be a lot of feelings and a lot of disaster. But here's my thing. I had dinner with a friend last night, brought up Sasha Alexander. She was a big Rizzoli and Isles fan. And she was like, oh, Sasha Alexander, the blonde one. And I'm like, no, she's brunette. But watching this scene, I'm like, oh, maybe she is blonde.
She's been blonder than this. I think in this scene, she's brunette. She's like it's kind of like an auburny, like a light brown.
Yeah. I just love the Witters. I mean, I know everyone you know, probably does, but they just make me happy.
They're really sweet. They tell each other that they love each other and they like each other and they hug and that's that.
And I love Doug.
Oh, love.
And in a weird way, I love Mr. Witter.
Jen and Grimms go to Park La Brea to check it out. And the lady at the gate, the security guard at the gate, is hilarious.
She's somebody. I know her from stuff.
Yeah. She has like a Mitch McConnell quality to her. Something about her face is very droopy, but she's old. She's an old lady and she's like, she's a hard ass. She's not letting anybody in without a pass. Know that.
Automatically, Jen's just getting bad vibes from Park La Brea, La Brea Park.
La Brea Park.
She doesn't like it. She doesn't like the way this lady's speaking to her grams.
I wouldn't either. Dawson plays his movie for Mitch and Mitch loves it.
Mitch is like, this is the best movie I've ever seen in my life. I'm so inspired.
He's like, you made Mr. Brooks like look like Harrison Ford. And Dawson was like, yeah, I needed someone's opinion besides Mr. Brooks because, you know, what is it a narcissist love more than a movie about themselves? And Mitch goes, he's always reminded me of someone, you, which was hilarious to me. I know he wasn't saying Dawson's a narcissist, but the timing was perfect.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I didn't even pick up on that.
He's like, you're both dreamers and romantics and...
And you take risks.
Mm-hmm. And you see a little light in Dawson's eyes. He's got an idea.
Boy, does he ever.
Casey goes to pick up Joey and she's sitting outside and he's like, you didn't have to wait outside for me. I would have rung the doorbell like a gentleman. And she's like, I've been ready for an hour. I couldn't look at myself in the mirror anymore. And it's really sad. Their theme, their, what's that song called?
I just want to keep watching. Windows by Amy Cook.
Windows by Amy Cook plays. And it's sad. They almost kiss. It's sad.
I know. And it's like they just fell into that rhythm. And it's like, just kiss.
I hated it. Jen tells Grams she is not moving to La Brea Park. No way, Jose. Grams is like, it'll be fine. Everywhere else is too expensive.
Jen's like, I'm not going to college like this. We have to figure out something else. I'm not going to feel this guilt. I'm not going to Boston. I'm not doing it. I love Jen for this.
Well, she's like, I don't want you to make that sacrifice for me. And Grams is like, it's not a sacrifice. It's a gift. Something that I want to do. And she's like, well, we're not doing it. Which is very noble, but also a little self-serving, we come to learn.
Yeah, I mean, Jen's looking for any excuse. So we go to this party, and all these little richy rich kids in their khakis, and their blazers, and their blue shirts.
So many sports coats. And Mr. Kublik's like, I see you brought your friend, Pacey. And they get separated. Pacey's like, should we go talk to the dean? And Mr. Kublik's like, yeah, let's go. Gretchen's packing up her boxes. Dawson shows up at her door and he's like, I thought you weren't leaving until tomorrow. And she's like, I'm just packing the car, you freak. And then Dawson's like, listen, I'm coming with you. And she's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, there's no reason not to. And she's like, you have graduation. And he's like, that experience is not rich enough for me to lie awake kicking myself for not having the courage to go with you. And she's like, you're crazy. And he's like, that's not good enough reason either. I'm coming. And she's like, okay. And then they kiss.
This is his big Mr. Brooks moment. We've heard a few times about how Mr. Brooks met the love of his life on the way out in a diner. And she was the waitress. And he said, come to California with me. So this is his big Mr. Brooks moment. I actually really liked that they called this back, this moment that we've heard about a few times. And can I just say, side note, don't ever pack your car the night before.
All your stuff's getting stolen.
I know a girl who her entire lifestyle was like Etsy shop and going to like cons, conventions and stuff and setting up booths. She packed her car for a convention with all of her stuff in it the night before. Everything's gone, which is like her livelihood. So she basically, and she makes everything. So she's still like,
that's awful.
Always assume that someone's watching and like casing your house. That's how I live.
In a constant state of paranoia and heightened anxiety.
Like producer Beth, when I used to live with producer Beth and the two of us would leave together, like in an Uber somewhere, she would turn around into our empty apartment and go, okay, bye, see you later, we'll be back soon, to give the Uber driver the impression that someone was there. And honestly, I kind of still do it.
Do you?
Yeah. And you know what else I do? If I'm going on a trip and I have a suitcase with me and I'm going to like LAX, I'll call the Uber for like two houses down. I won't give them my real address.
Interesting. And then you just walk out and stand outside?
Yeah.
I don't hate that because I can tell you my family, I think I may have told this on the pod already, but the summer between senior year of high school and freshman year of college, my family went on vacation and was packing up the car. And then that night I was home alone and our house got broken into while I was sleeping. And everyone's theory is that they saw my family packing up the car and then thought they were all on vacation, but I was there and it traumatized me.
Wait, this really happened?
Yeah.
What did they steal?
They stole a bunch of jewelry from my parents. They stole all the money out of my wallet. They stole just like a bunch of like anything that they could like quickly take, like gold, anything,
that's
money.
That's actually crazy. You're like lucky to be alive. Not even joking.
Yeah. It took me a really, 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 really long time to get over it. I still lock all of my
doors. What if they realized someone was in the house and then like, oh God.
I think I'm lucky because I don't think they went upstairs, or if they did, oh God, if they did, they realized that somebody was there. But I had my door closed and locked, bedroom door closed and locked, and I had a window unit air conditioning on. So like, I think it was just loud enough that I didn't hear anything to wake me up. Thank God.
Thank God.
But it's so scary.
I do sleep with a butcher knife too, actually, in my bedside table.
That's a good idea.
I am going to get a taser. I don't want to get a gun, so I'm going to get a taser.
Great.
But I live alone and I don't feel safe really ever. It would blow your mind the stuff I do in my house too. I don't want to, there's one secret I really don't want to tell, but I do a lot of stuff.
I do that in hotels. Recently, I was staying in a hotel for like 2 weeks and I like pushed the chair up against the door.
I do that.
No, thank you. You're not getting in here. And if you are, I'm going to wake up and stab you with my butcher's knife.
Anyway, Dawson. Dawson's babysitting Lily and he's writing a goodbye letter to Mitch and Gail.
Yeah. He's writing a goodbye letter. Gail walks in and says, there's an emergency at the Larry's Fresh Fish. Can you watch Lily? And he's like, sure. And it was such a good device because Dawson then is like talking out all of his feelings to the baby. It was really great.
What is it about the end of school year in Capeside where kids just want to like leave town? Like Joey, Pacey on the boat, Dawson and Gretchen.
Getting out.
Summer in Capeside must suck.
I know. He's guilty and he can't decide why he's guilty about the prospect of leaving with Gretchen.
Did you notice how Dawson wrote and in the Dear Mom and Dad? It's like not an ampersand, but it like almost is. I don't know. I've seen it before. I've never used it.
Oh, it's like a three with two dots.
It feels like a very Dawson thing.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. The food at this party looks terrible.
It's also a like gigantic party.
Look, we can't think too much about like the Worthington of it all because it just doesn't make sense. Like why Worthington is focusing so much on Capeside and like, or is it just all of Cape Cod? And then why?
Yeah, right.
Why is Capeside like the hub of like all of Cape Cod in Massachusetts? It's just, we can't. It'll unravel.
We can't unpack that. Yeah.
No.
Don't pull on that thread.
But this is the scene where they're like, Pacey, we're not offering you admissions. We're offering you a job as a deckhand. And Pacey, his poor face just drops.
He's like, the pay isn't great, but you'll be in the Caribbean. That's Mr. Kublik's whole pitch. And he's like, wow, this is unexpected. And they're like, take some time to think about it. And he looks so sad. He glances over his shoulder and sees Joey having the time of her life. And it's brutal.
Yeah, and we know from his conversation with Gretchen, his goodbye conversation, that he was kind of saying, you know, going to college or not going to college, rather, is such a big part in why I was feeling what I was feeling and why I broke up with Joey. And, you know, if I can get this offer to go to college with her, then that solves all of our problems. So it's not just that they wanted to be a deckhand. It's just it dashed his dreams of getting back together with Josephine.
Brutal, brutal, brutal.
Brutal.
I love the scene of Jack and Jen. Jack is sitting on, that's her porch, right? Graham's porch?
Yeah.
Sipping something frothy. I don't know what. Hot chocolate, a cappuccino, who knows? He's listening to Jen and Jen's like, I can't do it. I can't do it for Grams. You know, I need to take a year or two and save some money and then I'll meet you in Boston. And it's all very noble, but she's using Grams as an excuse. And Jack calls her out. He's like, you cannot use this martyr move as a way to avoid doing something scary.
You cannot use this what?
Martyr move.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you said murder move. I was like,
martyr,
oh.
Martyr. She's being a martyr.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was like a new slang that I needed to know. What's a murder move? Yeah, and Jack isn't having it. He's like, Capeside is the only place you've ever felt safe. Grams is the only person who's ever made you feel safe. And mm-hmm. You're just scared of taking a risk. And she's like, you know what? You're right.
And he goes, and you know what? I'm scared of going to Boston without you. So we're all doing scary things.
There's too much codependency going on here.
The three of them.
Yeah. That's cute.
And he says, you know what to do.
And then we go to poor, poor Pacey and Joey. He tells her about the job offer. He says, I want to leave. And she says, I will go with you. And he says, no, you're going to stay. She doesn't want to be here without him. And he says, the big difference between this party and last party is last time you needed me, you were a mess. You needed me to save you. And this time you don't need me to save you. this is your future. You're in your element. I'm going to go. And she says, no, I'm going with you.
He says, enjoy the party. And she says, how can I enjoy it without you?
Joey Potter is nothing if not stubborn.
Obviously, we know that.
And so she leaves with him. She leaves with her man, even though it's not her man anymore. Would you have stayed? I would have stayed. Sorry.
Probably. I mean, I don't think she was using him as an excuse to leave. Like, if I felt awkward and didn't want to be there, I probably would have left. But she was having the time of her life. She was chatting it up, rubbing elbows.
Yeah.
Dawson and Lily are watching a movie on the couch and Gretchen comes in and she's like, you're so cute, Papa Dawson. And he admits he's really surprised. He didn't realize he was going to bond to Lily so quickly and he just loves her. And then he thinks her and Alexander are going to be around the same age and he wonders if they will climb up a ladder into each other's windows, just like he and Joey. And he looks off into the distance lovingly. And Gretchen's like, uh-oh. Her face completely changes.
Yeah, he says, you know, like, by the time I get back from college, she'll be like walking and talking and I'm going to miss 4 years with her. That's crazy. And then I think Gretchen just kind of is like, oh, you see it hit her. She mm-hmm. doesn't want to take, he's going to lose 4 years with Lily. She doesn't want to take any time mm-hmm. in addition from Dawson. So we know at this point that she's checked out. She's made her decision.
Yeah.
She says goodbye. She gives him a kiss. Whenever someone uses the full word goodbye.
Goodbye.
It's over.
Yeah. You'll never see them again.
You'll never see them again. That's the facts.
Yeah.
But Dawson doesn't pick up on it. Dawson's like, la, la, la. See you in the morning.
It's so obvious if you look at her face.
Oh, yeah. Great face acting.
Mm-hmm. He definitely knows something is off, but he doesn't. Obviously doesn't think that. You could tell by his eyebrows. His eyebrows are like, what's happening here?
Great eyebrow acting.
They're killing it. They're killing it. Pacey drops Joey back off at her house and she's like, can I come sleep at your house? Just sleep. And he's like, yeah. Then Jen comes down for breakfast and Grams is like, did you talk to Jack?
Jennifer?
Jennifer? And Jen is like, what happened to good morning? Do you want a cup of Java? And Grams is like, I will never call coffee Java. It was really funny.
And this is when Jen is like, look, we're all going to Boston together, girl.
Pack your bags.
Get excited. And Grams is like, absolutely not. No. And Jen is like, it's happening. Jack's in on it. I'm in on it. I'm not going without you. And the three of us are going to Boston. And I love this. Can you imagine?
Grams is like, I'm not going to allow that you to do this for me. And Jen's like, I'm doing it for me.
I wish I could bring my parents to college. Oh, that would have been so much easier.
She's like, I'm too old. What will I do in Boston? How will I spend my time? And Jen is like, you've had far more action in the romance department than I have this year.
Mr. Brooks.
Hi. Love it. They're going to Boston.
They're going to Boston. What will season 5 bring? Who knows?
Truly. Who knows? In this moment, who knows? Oh my gosh. I just realized Grams has a little rolling pin planter above her stove. She loves rolling pins.
She commits to a theme.
We love that.
We love that.
Joey finds Pacey down at the docks the next morning and she's like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, oh, I thought I'd sneak back in before you woke up. She's like, how long have you been here? And he's like, oh, a few hours. I watched the sunrise. It's the first time I saw it since we were out on true love. He's going through it.
He's going through it. And he says, you know what? It's not your fault what happened. It's not your fault that we broke up. It's me. Hi. I'm the problem. It's me.
She says, yeah, but you said, and he's like, I know what I said and I know how I said it, but I was blaming you for my insecurities and shaming you for your accomplishments. And I've become one of those guys who feels insecure when their girlfriend gets a better job than them. And I hate those guys. And like, I'm just jealous of everyone in that room that's going to get to be with you next year. And I won't.
Yeah. It's just definitely just bigger than them. It's just bigger than them. And it doesn't have to do with their feelings.
Nope.
It has to do with life, your path, your lifestyle, your long-term goals, your trajectories.
And college is one of those things that, like, if you're going, you have to go and you have to be mentally there. That's why I think all these relationships don't work out.
Yeah.
You start a whole new life. It is what it is.
Don't go to college in a relationship. That's crazy.
I did it and I wouldn't recommend it.
You're not going to be present.
Yeah. You want to be able to do whatever you want. And they have a nice little chat and they're like, you know, I'm glad we got a better ending than the last one.
Yeah.
They hold hands and it's sad.
This is the closure moment. I think Joey's kind of in on it now. I'm sorry, Pacey Joey fans. I know it's sad, but I think it's great material, actually. And this isn't coming from a place of like Dawson Joey. I just think it's great. They're great scenes. And it feels real.
It does.
I'm sorry if people feel like it feels out of character, but it does. It feels in character for me. I feel like it's in character. I mean, the fact that it makes people feel so sick and heartbroken just means how good it is and how effective and...
For sure.
You know, evocative it is. Dawson goes to Gretchen's. He sees the yearbook. He immediately knows the yearbook's sitting there. And she says in the letter, you know, I have to go. You have to stay. These are memories that you need. I don't need the summer to know that I'm in love with you. I already know that I am more than you'll ever know. Thank you for changing my life. Thank you for proving to me that I can love again. And as a little callback joke, she says, have a bitchin' summer. And you know what? I think it's cute that like she kind of said the same thing that he said to Joey last week, which is like, Gretchen proved to me that I could love again. I can love someone besides you. And she just said to him like, oh, you proved to me that I could love again. And then this is a great scene for the Dawson Joey collective. They sit on the dock. These two love sitting on a dock.
Everyone does.
These two specifically. It's their thing. Okay, let me have this.
Yeah, these they do. They love it.
No one likes sitting on a dock like these two, okay?
Okay.
Especially when the wind picks up and it just blows Dawson's hair back. And she says, what are you doing this summer? And he says, this. Oh, this is a near perfect scene.
Where was your head at?
Back then, I don't know.
2001.
I don't know, but oh, I just love this. It just feels like the show is going back to like it's, there's something so season one-y about it. The sunset, it's golden hour.
Oh, for sure. For sure, for sure. The dock. And the last time they were on this dock together, Dawson was ugly crying. So.
You're free. Go before I change my mind.
That's it, baby.
That's episode 421. Separation anxiety.
Crazy. We've got some closure. We're going to college single.
I feel like it was a really, really solid, great episode. I think season four is really, truly just one of the best, honestly.
It's really good. It's really, 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 really good.
Next week, we have episode 422, The Graduate.
Yeah. Do you want to quickly tell us about One Battle After Another?
Yes, it was very good. It was long. It didn't really feel as long as it was. It's Paul Thomas Anderson, who's done like Magnolia.
There Will Be Blood, Punch Drunk Love. Those are all Paul Thomas Anderson.
Punch Drunk Love. I recommend it. I think the acting was really good. I think Sean Penn and Leonardo DiCaprio are both really good. There's a girl in it named Chase Infinity, who was on Presumed Innocent, that Jake Gyllenhaal Apple show. And I worked on that. And she was so nice and sweet. And she would like come in on,
good.
She would come in on days like she wasn't working and she just wanted to like be there. And I'm happy that her career is really taking off. So it was a great movie. And I also really highly recommend Twinless, which I really feel like people will enjoy because it's Dylan O'Brien. It's, you know, I feel like there is like, there's like a Dawson's Dylan O'Brien Teen Wolf overlap. And Twinless was very good.
That's a feature, right? That's a movie.
It's a feature. Yeah. It's about two people who meet in a twin grief group, as in you've lost your twin.
Oh, wow.
But there's twists. And it's really well written and it's really well directed and it's really well acted.
Awesome.
If there was any justice in the world, Dylan O'Brien would probably be nominated for an Oscar. But since it's like a small indie movie that didn't do very well, I don't think he will.
I'll check it out.
What have you been watching?
Not too much new. I mean, I said it last week, but we can save it for next week because this episode's running a little bit long. I was doing a rewatch of The Summer I Turned Pretty and watching the show that I'm working on. So I've been booked and busy.
We did get feedback about how people are happy that we pointed out that The Summer I Turned Pretty ripped off The Prom. Mm. And a lot of people said like Conrad could never. Let's just be real. No shade.
I don't know if anyone could.
Dawson's did it better.
I agree.
Well, what is going to be the Dawson's drink for episode 422?
For episode 422, The Graduate, we will be drinking The Graduate. You will need sweet vermouth, Irish whiskey, triple sec, and tonic water. Sounds good, honestly.
That sounds good. I love a little tonic water beverage.
I think it's going to be really good.
Well,
all right. Bye.